Let's open the Bible, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. It is one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. There are, despite all the works going on in the building, there are Bibles available still. You find them on the chairs at the back there if you want a Bible in your hand. That's great. Just, this is a moment to nip out of your seat and grab a Bible and follow this chapter as we read. But it will be on the screen as well. Isaiah has been preaching to a people who haven't known God's blessing for a long time. And he's preaching to God's people who have gone cold, God's people who've heard of miracles in the past, but are desperately short of a miracle in the present. And he's preaching to a nation that doesn't think much of itself. They've been defeated in war. They've been exiled. They've been maltreated. They've been oppressed. And they're feeling that God is somewhere else. And Isaiah's got words to them that God is not somewhere else. He's right here and he's wanting to bless. So Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow, and there will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Seek the Lord while he may be found, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Isn't God always close at hand? Isn't he always near? And the answer to that, I think, is yes and no. It's one of those questions that doesn't have a precise answer. Because after all, as the Greek said, and as Paul quotes in one of his sermons when he's preaching in Athens, in God we live and move and have our being. So from that point of view, yeah, God is always near. But from another point of view, he's not near, because this verse is not talking about the physical nearness of God. He is talking about the relationship with God. And you can live near to somebody but not be close to them. Isn't that true? You can live in the same house as someone and not be close to them. You can live in God's world and not be close to him. That's the truth. And it gets even more complicated than that, because, you know, there are times and seasons in God's blessing. And Susan and I went for a walk on Thursday down from Dinas Dinchler, down 2 miles of golden sands to Fort Belan, on the very opening, very mouth of the Menai Straits. And we watched as the tide flowed through the Menai Straits. Something like 17 million tons of water every tide goes through that 100 yards of water. It's amazing. Just watch the water flowing in, flowing out. But you know, God's Spirit is a bit like that. It flows in, flows out. I don't know why. But there are times of blessing. There are times when the blessing is scarce. At the moment, Penrith, we're living a time of God's blessing. God is blessing us in so many ways. And that's great. And that's good to know. But there are times in that sense when God is near and God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. At the moment when God's Spirit is moving, that's the moment. That's the time to reach out and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and expect the unexpected then. Seek the Lord, but I need to warn you, as you seek the Lord, expect the unexpected. Seek him, but don't think you've got it all sorted. Let's just run through quickly a few of the verses that we've read. I'm just going to go through them quickly. What do we learn here about the Lord's promise? Remember, this is a messianic prophecy. It's looking forward to Jesus, effectively. But verses 1 and 2, it's free. It's free. There's no entrance fee. You just walk in. And in verses 1 and 2, you come in and you find God's blessing. It's free. And in verse 3, it's life-giving. Hear me that your soul may live. God's promise, God's blessing, it's free and it's life-giving. It gives you life. Gives you life. And it gives you love. It's there in verse 3. I will, my faithful love. That's a Hebrew word, chesed, which means ongoing faithful love of God. It's free. It's life-giving. It's love released into your life. Who doesn't want that? Verses 4 and 5, it's universal. It's for everybody. I'm looking out here and seeing how many different nations are represented among us this morning. And the Bible says how all the nations will come to receive that blessing. Look, we're here to prove it. Even the barbarian Welsh are here to receive the blessing, the promise of God. And verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. It's glorious. And he's saying to you, find it. Come now. It's on offer. Don't turn that down. How does it happen? He doesn't say how it's going to happen. It looks forward firstly to Jesus. It comes through Jesus. God's blessing comes through Jesus. That was 600 years in the future. And But he doesn't say how. So my first thing I want to say to you is this. Expect God to bless you. But I'm not going to say how it's going to happen because I don't know. Look at verse 8. Let's turn to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You know, we live in an unpredictable universe. Now, I know you like to control things. I'm looking out and I'm seeing a lot of control freaks out there. You like to have everything under control. Can I tell you now, you can't? You can't. It doesn't happen. And you can't control God. You want a surefire three steps to blessing, don't you? I think, how many times have I preached those sermons? I don't preach them anymore. You know, step A, step B, step C, bang, the blessing. It really didn't work that way. I don't know why I bothered wasting my time preaching those sermons. It's unpredictable. God's ways are not our ways. We live in an unpredictable universe. The only people who think they can predict everything are atheists like Richard Dawkins. They're the only people who think they can explain everything. It's interesting, if you ask other scientists, I have a physics background, ask a physicist, can you explain everything? They will laugh at you. Oh, we've got the Higgs boson, we've got theories, we've got all kinds of theories, but can we explain everything? No, we can't. In fact, we've discovered that the universe is basically unpredictable. If you could, look at an electron. You can't really, by the way, because the moment you look at it, you don't know what it's doing. And the moment you know what it's doing, you can't look at it. It's just the way the universe works. If you know how fast something's going, you don't know where it is. And if you know where it is, you don't know how fast it's going. So if that were a car, every time you looked at the speedometer, you'd get lost. Okay? And that's what happens when you look at the universe. When you look down through a microscope, it's unpredictable. You know an electron is going to leave an atom, or you know a radioactive isotope is going to throw out a particle. You know it's going to. You just don't know when, and you can't know when. In fact, modern physics says it's impossible to know when that's going to happen. You can watch it and see it happen, but you can't predict it. And you say, yeah, but that's on a small scale. What about the big scale? Actually, the big scale, the same applies. It's a thing called chaos theory. And when you have big systems like weather fronts and so on, they are basically unpredictable. The mathematics shows you cannot predict them, which is why they simplify it. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Panama and causes a hurricane in New York or the Gulf of Mexico. That's the kind of thing it is. It's unpredictable. Scientists know that the universe is unpredictable. It has unpredictability built into it. But it works very well. But it's unpredictable. So why do you think God is going to be predictable? Get used to an unpredictable universe. Get used to an unpredictable God of the universe. My ways are not your ways. Let me tell you now, control freaks need not apply for faith. Going to walk with God, you've got to walk in his way and expect the unexpected. God doesn't fit scientific methods. I laughed, you know, they kept from time to time someone gets this bright idea. Let's have an experiment. They have an experiment. They have two lots of hospital patients. And one lot group of Christians pray for them, and the other group of Christians don't pray for them. And then they compare the results, trying to show that the patients who were prayed for get better quicker than the ones who don't. And the results are quite interesting. Sometimes the patients prayed for get better quicker, and sometimes the one they don't get prayed for get better quicker. I'm thinking, yeah, actually all that shows is it was a dumb experiment to begin with. God doesn't fit into our scientific experiments. That is not what God does. God is never going to fit into one of my little scientific experiments. He's God, and his ways are not my ways, and they're unpredictable. Even I look at the life of Jesus, you know, and you see the stories of Jesus. Even then, the miracles are unpredictable. I mean, if you're going to predict the first miracle of the Messiah, would you predict that he would turn gallons of water into wine at a wedding? Would you have predicted that? I would. But that's God, you know. My ways, he says, are not your ways. I love this story in Mark 8, 22-26. Again, this is one of these stories, you know, for the control freaks among you who think you've got step A, step B, step C. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't work that way. When they came to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Don't know why he did that. Maybe for some peace and quiet. Don't know. And when he spat on the man's eyes, now, you know, I've been in many churches where there's prayer for healing. We're going to have time of healing at the close of this service. We're not going to spit in your eye, right? We will offer to anoint you lightly on your forehead, the back of your hand with a bit of oil, but that's as far as it's going to go. So we've got the unpredictability coming. In New Testament times, healers often did that, by the way. They believed that had medicinal power. So it's not entirely, it's culturally relevant to Jesus' day. So Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "I see people." He's healed. And he says, "They look like trees walking around." You think, not so good. We're halfway there, really. I see people, but they look like trees. So is he healed or is he not? Well, he is and he isn't, isn't he? And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village. They'll mob you." Now, do the control freaks among you understand that? Well, if you're a control freak, you have to understand it because you've got to control it. But I'm just happy to say, don't know. Just how it is. My ways are not your ways. God is the God of the unpredictable. Or you go turn to John. This is one of my, you've often heard me mention this. It's one of my favourite puzzles in the Bible. I love biblical puzzles. They're great. There's no answer till you get to heaven for most of them. But they're good. John 5, verse 2. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. If you go to Jerusalem, the archaeologists have dug it up, by the way. You can go and visit it yourself if you want to. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And that's the one that Jesus healed. My control freak nature says, wait a minute. Why did he just heal the one? What about the others? I don't know. See what I mean? Unpredictable. Okay? You say, your control freak says, Jesus going on a healing mission to the pool of Bethsaida. You know what's going to happen. He's going to heal them all. No, he doesn't. He heals one. Why? I don't know. What about the others? No. What did God do in the life of the others? The Bible does not tell us. My ways are not your ways, says God. Stop trying to predict what I'm going to do. Because you never will. You never will. I'm near, so just seek me. I don't know why it is. I've been in meetings where the Spirit of God has fallen mightily. But, some people get less and others just have a nice time. That's how it is. That's how it is. I just don't know. Some of us, that's the day God's going to bless us. Others, you just have a good time in my presence. That's how it is. And that's fine. Do you know that's okay? Control freaks among you, that's okay. It's all right. God works differently in all our lives. Don't try and predict. And seek God, but don't try and predict it. Secondly, come to God with empty hands. Let's go back to verse 1. Come to God with empty hands. Don't try to manipulate God. Come, all you are thirsty. Come to the waters. Come, you have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. God says it's free. Anna, but you don't want that. Because you want to earn it, don't you? You want to earn God's blessing. You want to earn God's blessing by praying more than the next guy. That's what you really want. You want God's blessing to fall on you because you're holier than the person in front of you. That's what you really want, isn't it? You want to earn it. Because you can boast about it. That's what you really want. And God says, no, you're not going to do that. Tell you what, I'm going to give it free. People who don't even deserve it. Got no money? Then come on. Here's my blessing. You're never going to earn my blessing. Don't even think about trying to earn it. Don't think about buying it. Don't think about doing something wonderful in order for me to bless you. I'm going to bless you anyway. Your hands are empty. You can't manipulate God. There's a story about Evan Roberts, the great Welsh revivalist. Now, I've not been able to chase this story down to source, so I'm going a bit second hand here. I like to trace my stories down to source whenever I preach, because I don't believe everything I read on the internet. And, or in books for that matter, or in other people's sermons even less. And, but as I understand it, with that little footnote, I haven't chased it down to source. Evan Roberts was preaching somewhere, and Evan Roberts was, you know, the place was packed, and it's a chapel. It would have been like this and without the scaffolding, and without the projection and the sound and the band and everything. But it was old-fashioned Welsh chapel, and there were people around. And these two atheists, free thinkers, they would call themselves, had kind of infiltrated the service, and they sat, I believe, in the balcony. I could be wrong on that. And they interrupted Evan Roberts, and they said, "We're free thinkers. And if God's real, we want him to show himself to us." They interrupted the sermon, interrupted the service. "For God to show himself to us." Yeah? If your God is real, let him show. We're free thinkers, we'll accept whatever happens now. Poor Evan Roberts freaked out, really, didn't know what to do. So he just set everybody praying. I'd have probably sent them out home, to be honest, because my answer would have been, "Who are you, oh man, to tell God how he's going to manifest himself to you? Who are you? He's just a bit of clay that God's put together. Not up to you to tell God how he's going to bless you in this place. Not up to you to decide how God's going to meet you. If you want to meet God, he'll meet you, but he'll meet you when he wants to meet you. You don't make appointments with God. He makes appointments with you. So you might as well go home." I'd have probably said to them, "God, if you want to meet God, you'll meet him. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, but you'll meet him somewhere, somehow." You cannot manipulate God. You cannot tell God when he's going to meet you and when he isn't. You can't control the Holy Spirit by prayer. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 8. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 8. "The wind blows," this is Jesus speaking, "the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You can't control the wind. You can experience it, but you can't control it. Can't control the Holy Spirit by prayer. Doesn't stop you praying. Please do keep praying. We want you to keep praying. But let God be God. Let God answer you as he wants to answer you. And thirdly, obey God. Don't try to obstruct him. Verses 10 and 11. God's word comes down like rain or snow and waters the earth. And out of the earth comes all kinds of fruits and food and plants. And God says, "My word's like that. It falls into hearts and it grows and it prospers. And it will fall into your heart and it will grow and prosper. My word will come to you and it will bless you. And you will grow and you will prosper." God will work as we walk in his way, as we allow God to to bless us, as his word takes heart, as we read scripture, as we listen to him, God will bless us. And as he blesses us, God's work will grow in our hearts, in our lives. As I was preparing this, one verse came very strongly to mind from Isaiah, which is Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour. There's only one God's. There's only one Lord's. And we've got to acknowledge that. And if you're going to seek him, you've got to accept that he is going to work in your heart. He's going to do his work in your heart. And it's on his terms and only on his terms. Do you understand that? On God's terms. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. But on his terms, not yours. I was just thinking of the little valves they put in the piping these days. If you go to look under the sink or in the bathroom, you'll see in the piping there's built in a little valve with a little screw head on. And it works very simply. When the screw's turned at right angles to the water, no water flows. And when you turn the screw vertical, the water flows. Simple. On, off. Half on, half off. But basically, that valve does nothing except obstruct or permit. You know? And I think when it comes down to it, we probably, at the end of our lives, we come to the conclusion we've probably done much the same. You know? We've either obstructed or we've permitted God to work through us. But whatever has happened, it's come by God flowing through us. And when we seek God, what we're doing is we're just putting ourselves in the vertical position. We're just allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us. And that's what seeking God means. Just putting yourself in the place of God's blessing. Because he's saying, I am near. Seek me while I am here. If I'm disobedient, lazy, obstructive, sinful, then God can't meet me as he wants to meet me. But all I've got to do is receive what he's going to do as I seek him and open up to him. We're working on the basis of a word that was given to me, through the church by a person who turns out to be a friend of Ian Walker. I didn't know that at the time. And the word was about, there's a story in the Bible where a widow is told by the prophet she's got no money. He says, get as many pots as you can, bring them together and start filling them. And she starts filling them, and one's full, puts it to one side and keeps filling it. And as she keeps going on, the blessing just doesn't stop. It keeps being passed on. And she fills all the pots. And I've shown this at the church meeting, and I've shared it with the deacons, all the leaders of the church. Shared it with some leaders outside the church. They're all saying, Peter, that's the word of God for Penracht. You know, it's the word of God for you and your ministry in Penracht. God is going to bless. God is wanting to bless. God is wanting to fill. And so we've sort of set ourselves on a mission to encourage people to be filled by God, to put themselves in a place of God's blessing, because we believe that God wants to fill you. And we're going to keep on this theme. At some point, I think I'm probably going to have to preach on that passage about the pots. That'll probably come in the autumn. But we've built the whole service around this point this morning. We believe that God wants to fill you. So James is going to lead us further into praise and worship from here on until about 12 o'clock. And we encourage you to seek the Lord because we believe that God wants to meet you. That's our belief. We believe that God wants to touch your life. We believe that you should seek the Lord because he is near. That's our belief. Just to help, we've got a small ministry zone down here, and there'll be three or four of us down here. And if you'd like to come, take from your seat and sit down here and pray, we'd happily pray with you. About anything, you may find we have a word for you, a blessing to give you. But we'll just pray with you briefly and then leave you to pray. That's fine. If you wish prayer for healing, we would like that to take place in a place of quiet. And also we want to give the children and young people an opportunity to come back for that. If you are sick, or if somebody in your family is sick, then we encourage you to at the close of the service, James will close service very quietly and can slip through into the hall. Stay seated where you are, roundabouts, and the team will come to you at the close of the service, as once most people have gone through for tea and coffee. We've got some oil here. Won't pour it on you. We'll just dab it as a sign of God's blessing on your forehead, on your back of your hand, if you're amenable to that. And they will pray with you for healing. We believe that God is working in our church. We had Roy Godwin preaching here a couple of weeks ago, sharing some of the stories of God's healing that have happened in Valdebrennen retreat center. And that was just wonderful, hearing those fantastic stories of blessing. But we believe in recent weeks God has blessed us in Penrith with people being healed. And that's wonderful. All we say is that if you feel that God has healed you this morning, please keep taking your medication until you see a doctor. Just to be cautious. But we believe that God is at work here. So if you like prayer for healing at the close of the service, don't use the ministry zone. Wait until the service is closed and it's quiet, and then people have gone, and then our team will. Is that clear? Has everyone got that? Okay, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to pray now. Just invite the band onto the platform with me. Let's pray. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Father, we are aware of your presence. We are aware there are times and seasons in your blessing. And we are aware, Father, as a church, that we have entered and are entering, along with other churches in Wales, a time of blessing. And we don't want to miss it. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to obstruct it, Lord. We want to let it flow among us. So we're giving you opportunity this morning to bless us. People are going to be seeking you as we praise you. Father, I pray that you hear their prayers and bless them. Pray that you come to them and bless them. So some people may be going to come to the ministry zone. I pray that you meet them there. Some people are going to stay behind for healing. We pray, Father, that you heal them in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that you meet us as we worship in your presence, that you be alive to us, that you fill us. Lord, there are pots waiting to be filled, and we pray that you do that. Oh, Lord, let your blessing fall. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.